Hi there, this is Carla King, and welcome to the Misadventuring Podcast. Today we have Marisa Lenhart in the studio. Marisa is a self-described deviant opera singer, and you can find her performing at Burning Man Operas and even busking at the BART station. But not to worry, she's a good girl too. She sings at St. Margaret Mary in Oakland as cantor and soprano section leader, but she also lends her voice to electronica and techno acts. Now, why is she on the Misadventuring Podcast? Well, if that wasn't enough, she often rides her motorcycle to practices and performances. It's a black 2001 Honda CBR 929 motorcycle. That is a pretty hot sport bike. Well, we'll hear about Marisa and all her misadventuring activities. Welcome, Marisa, to the Misadventuring Podcast.
Thank you.
This is quite a balancing act that you that you perform every day. But I want to start with a motorcycle.
Okay.
And I've looked at your websites, and you have a lot of YouTube stuff. It's really, really cool, some of the stuff you have on the web. But I want to ask you, what's the most outrageous thing you've ever done on a motorcycle?
That's on YouTube. It's a 929RR. But I'm not by nature a stunter, although I hear it's a fantastic stunting bike. I rode my motorcycle down the steps of the San Jose City Hall for a gig with Velocity Circus Troupe. I was fully geared up, and it was terrifying. And at the end of the ride, I took off my helmet, took off my jacket, and sang opera over techno.
That does sound pretty crazy. I bet that got quite the applause.
It did. A lot of people thought that there was a spot between me getting off the bike and me getting on stage where they switched people, which they didn't.
So what were you wearing?
I was wearing my black leather zip together suit, my racing suit, and I had a red corset underneath. So it was kind of a reveal. And the Gold Rush, the 49ers cheerleaders helped me to get, they took my leather jacket off, they took my helmet, they took my gloves, and one of them knew what she was doing because she put the jacket on the ground, she put the gloves in the helmet, and she put the helmet on top of the jacket, which is exactly how I would have done it.
Wow. How do you get gigs like this?
So I would say that Burning Man has been responsible for the bulk of my interesting singing work. I've been camping with Thunderdome at Burning Man since 1999. And before we went out to the desert in 2000, my friend David King, who started the camp and started Death Guild, the nightclub, asked me to learn the piece From the Fifth Element. So with the help of a friend of mine in New York, Andreas Meyer, he recomposed the backing track from the piece From the Fifth Element. And I, over the course of the next year, I learned it. And then I was heard at Center Camp, and Stephen Raspa, who works at Burning Man, heard me and got me to perform at Decompression. Then he brought Greg Angelo and Jeffrey of Velocity Circus Troupe to hear me sing. And it's sort of been a crazy adventure since then. I've been singing opera over techno all over the place. I got to sing it on the Warner Brothers lot. We go on tour. It's pretty fantastic. And I've worked with a couple of other composers as well, because I'm always looking for something that will lend itself to, you know, making operatic vocals a little bit more modern.
Wow, that sounds just fascinating. I have heard some of your performances on the web, and I believe at Burning Man, I may have caught part of your act before some dust storm came up or another. I don't know if you remember that year, but
it's always dusty.
Yeah, that's true. It sounds like the motorcycle feeds a lot into your deviant opera singer persona. Was that a before or after effect of getting the motorcycle? When did you start getting into the motorcycle?
So if you look at it, opera singing is pretty deviant too. I mean, not a lot of people do it. And it's kind of an interesting person that would choose to go into a field that's so full of rejection and heartache and drama and this and that. But it's, so I've been singing since I was, you know, about 7, but I got the motorcycle, got my motorcycle license when I was 20. And I'm older than that now. So I've been riding for about 12 or 13 years.
Okay. And so you started singing at 7 and motorcycle riding at 20. What got you interested in the motorcycle?
Well, I think this is a common theme for people. It's cheap. And, you know,
Were you living in the Bay Area?
I was born and raised in the Bay Area. It's a natural course. It's a beautiful place to ride. Insurance is cheap. You can lane split legally in California. All of these factors lend themselves really well to riding a motorcycle here. And it's cool. It's a fun thing to do. And one of my biggest inspirations is that a lot of my female friends rode. I knew a lot of girls who rode. And so it didn't seem like I had to be a super tough guy, you know, tomboy to ride either.
Yeah, I kind of like motorcycle riding, not for the tough persona. It's convenient. It's also fun. It lets me be out in the world. Since I grew up on a motorcycle, it never was the whole city life consideration was never there because I was riding across tobacco farms in North Carolina. but it's also a very graceful sport. You know, I'm often teaching my male friends to use their hips and their grace to turn because they're struggling with their arms.
A lot of guys will muscle. Sorry, guys. Will muscle their way into it when women have, you know, it's this core, this center of gravity. We tend to be very in touch with it, and it makes riding. I'm a tall woman. My bike is big. I fit perfectly on the bike. I don't need a 929. I wanted a 929 because it fits my body perfectly, and it feels like an extension of myself. The way my knees fit into the fairing, all I have to do is move my hips. The bike is an extension, and I love that. And it's just, I'm very, very connected with myself when I ride. I'm very connected with the road when I ride. It's an incredible feeling.
It is, and I just love the grace of it. And I hope some of you guys will start swinging the hips and, you know, trying to be graceful on the bike, because I find myself sometimes getting stressed and using my upper body. But when you start using your lower body, everything becomes much more relaxed, which I think makes these low-slung cruisers so popular.
I always ride better when I'm relaxed. There's a dual effect. If I'm stressed out, motorcycling, the concentration required for motorcycling will not allow me to be stressed or focused on anything else. So it's a nice way to relax, but also I ride better when I'm relaxed as well. So it all works together.
Mm-hmm. And for me also, if I can get my physical body to relax and say, okay, lower your center of gravity, Carla. Yeah, lower your center of gravity. Then my whole body just becomes more able to calm down and, you know, have fun. And I think that also plays into working and being stressed over maybe performances. And for me, you know, getting relaxed to write or something is a whole body, mind, spirit connection for bikes. I don't know if you feel that too.
Hugely, hugely. It's as though the body sends a message to the mind that says, okay, now it's time to relax. You don't have a choice. You're going to focus on this one thing. And if you've ever had a life-changing dramatic experience, it offers the same kind of clarity.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the only other one that's a sport that's created a relaxing environment like that for me is rock climbing. Because you can't think about anything else.
I've never done it, but I would imagine that the sheer terror of the idea of falling would be. I've recently started taking trapeze, and there's a very similar kind of, you know, if I don't lock my knees, if I don't bend my knees right now, if I don't get my feet at the sharpest angle right now, I'm gonna drop. And it's amazing what you can do, what kind of concentration you can achieve if your end goal is, you know, I want to be safe, I want to not fall on my head.
I think the sports like that require 100% concentration, it's kind of like meditation. You know, I meditate, but I'm never as centered and focused as I am when I'm on a motorcycle or when I've done something like rock climbing or even bicycling, you know, something with the body. It's just amazing. So I want to go back maybe to... So when you started singing at 7 years old, did you think you wanted to be an opera singer when you grew up, or did you just love to sing? I mean, what was that trajectory like? Were you pushed into it by your parents or, you know, your stage mom, or you know, in high school, were you in drama? What happened there?
I was loud and I sang a lot, and my parents, I think, wanted to know what to do with all of that. And the San Francisco Girls Chorus was right across the bay. So I auditioned and I stayed with them for until I was 15 and I graduated. And when I graduated, I had been taking private lessons for 3 years, performing at the professional level for 3 years, and I wanted nothing to do with singing ever, ever again. Because I think that that's a natural reaction when you've been in a very intense, extremely disciplined, almost militaristic environment as a kid, there's a natural rebellion against it. So I didn't sing for about a year. And then a representative from UC Santa Barbara Vocal Young Artist Vocal Institute came to my school. And they were auditioning for the summer program between my junior and senior year of high school. So I'd had my entire junior year off of singing. And the program was, I don't know, it was $2,000 plus room and board, which was additional. And my dad, who is a very smart man, said, okay, if you audition and you get in, whatever scholarship you get, I'll put in your bank account. You know, so I said, well, you know, the stipulation being that, of course, you have to go. And, right? So, so I auditioned and I got a full scholarship. And $2,000 when you're 16 years old is a huge amount of money. So I go to Santa Barbara. I spend 6 weeks in intensive training, 8 in the morning. You know, we're doing Tai Chi, we're doing language lessons, we're doing body movement classes, we're doing private lessons, we're doing coachings. A coaching is where you work on the specifics of the music you're working on, note length, your language, the actual, how the flow, what the melody is, that kind of thing. Mm. And so we did that. We were in class from 8 in the morning to 9 at night, and I loved it. And by the end of the 6 weeks, I knew what I wanted to do. So I had $2,000 in the bank and I wanted to be an opera singer. So
wow, an opera singer as opposed to a rock and roll star or something like that.
Because I'd been classically trained. Yeah. I think that was where it was. And so I already had the foundation to be an opera singer. I already had private lessons. I had already learned some opera in the girls' chorus. I didn't go down that route. And I also, opera is so highly specialized. You have to have training to do it. And so I knew automatically I wouldn't be in a mix of millions of kids who want to just get in front of a microphone and start singing. There's still a huge amount of competition, but it's unlike rock and roll where, you know, you can't just walk off the street and start singing.
Right.
And I mean, with rock and roll, obviously you can't just walk off the street and pick up a guitar either. Mm-hmm. But for singers, it can be different. So there are a lot of types of singing where natural talent will go a long way. And opera, you need to have taken a couple of additional steps.
Yeah, I bet. It sounds like a very long trajectory, actually, from 7 years old to how